Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
His ability to create separation, you know, he does such a great job at that. He's such a student of the game. He's a smart guy. You know, he played with Teddy Bridgewater in high school. So I've been from South Florida. I've obviously followed Amari for a while. And Coach and Teddy used to always talk about him, just the type of how cerebral he is and how he understands leverages and out of attack and really good and strong hands. And so he has a unique skill set, something that with some traits of guys that we have on our team, some that we don't, you know, and it'll be excited to be able to work with him and figure out, you know, how it's all going to kind of work in our offense.
There's Buffalo Bills offense coordinator Joe Brady talking about the newest Buffalo Bill, Amari Cooper. Very, very excited. Hope to see him just being in Buffalo. Be cool if we heard that he is part of the walkthrough practice or what have you. Sean McDermott speaking later today. Bills general manager Brandon Bean speaking later today. Everyone is speaking today.
Maybe Amari Cooper.
Maybe Amari. Well, probably not.
But hey, you never know.
But yeah, it seems a very, very busy day over at One Bills Drive. Going to go back to the phones here, and we've got George on the line. George, how are we doing today? George, are you there? George is not there. That's a shame. He wanted to talk, though, about Curtis Samuel there and maybe why he hasn't been used more. On that, I think it's tough because, like, in one aspect, you're like, oh, I mean, well, he's, you know, clearly been hurt. He was dealing with turf toe for much of training camp. You know, the toe injury popped back up on the injury report.
That was the part that it's like, okay, that – it's not that it's a bad sign in terms of
turf toe is a
season-long thing, but turf toe is something that sticks around for a while.
Yeah. So you saw that and went, okay, makes sense. I get it. All right.
Yep.
But then in the next breath, you're going, yeah, but wait, but they were only using him in bubble screens anyway. So, like, what are we doing here?
Right. But was that the reason?
Was that the reason?
That's where I think it might be. And we're going to see that this week. If he continues the same role he did last week,
I'm feeling a little
against
bit better.
The Titans. Then I'm also feeling better. I think it's just maybe it was just an injury thing. You know, because if you think about it, when Brady had Samuel in Carolina, it was, you know, gadget plays, flea flickers, screens, all that stuff.
Yeah, they used him a lot and he had a career year.
Right. But what I'm saying is if Brady's sitting there saying, okay, well, he's hurt, but we still want to use him. Mm-hmm. Let's try to use him in the way we did when we were in Carolina. Him and Samuel, I'm saying, not the whole team, obviously. But
that's where you got to sit Joe down and be like, man, you work for the Buffalo Bills now. And I don't know if you know this.
Josh Allen's your quarterback.
Not even that. You cannot do a screen game here. That is just the rules. It will not work.
No, we don't defend it, and
we will not run it.
But if you think about it, I look at, you know, if that's what Curtis Samuel – you know, if he's hurt, that's his bread and butter. That's what he can always do, regardless of if he's a little banged up or not.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that they were trying that.
Yeah.
But if it's just that was their plan.
Oh, boy.
And they shifted from it, then good on you for shifting from it. But what in the world was the plan?
Yeah, you're paying a guy $8 million a year to, and like you said, if that was the plan and injuries didn't play a part into it, you're paying a guy $8 million a year to be effectively a gadget guy. And that, man, I think
over the next 3 weeks, if he continues the same role, you're going to see that was indeed probably just, hey, let's keep him involved just in a smaller role.
We're working him back in. He's healthy enough to play, not really healthy enough to fully go.
Mm-hmm.
Much better, though, on Monday night. 4 targets, 3 catches, 44 yards, of course, one of them being a 38-yard catch.
Which was huge.
Which was nice. Yeah. I mean, the only catch that had more yardage to it was Ray Davis's broken play for 42 yards.
To replay that is so funny. Davis is just
waving
leading up to it, he's just waving his arms like a madman and then like catches it in the air, does like a bicycle motion in the air. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're pedaling a bike, that's what his feet like did in the air, and then like throws it back up to himself and catches it again and comes down with it.
I did not realize how close he was to dropping it, watching it live. And then I saw the replay and I went, oh no.
Right. Yeah, I thought he dropped it.
I have PTSD from James Cook dropping wide open passes for big gainers or touchdowns or what have you. I can't have both running backs doing that to me.
One of you has to catch them.
Yeah, please. His performance though on Monday night was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I know Frank Gore Jr. was called up. I know there was a lot of Bills fans, including him in my immediate circle, that were excited to see him and maybe see him do anything. But to see Ray Davis just somewhat seemingly on short notice, because I remember a report, and I could be very wrong, but I remember seeing that via James Cook's agency, I think Ian Rapoport, Adam Schefter tweeted out that he was going to play Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he wasn't. And, you know, Ray Davis gets thrown in there. And for him to have just shy of 100 yards and, you know, 55 receiving and just be kind of a do-it-all guy. And that first drive, Josh, oh my goodness. The physicality of that first drive. Yeah. Dalton Kincaid.
Kincaid's first catch was just boom.
And
like,
and then
good morning.
And then Davis, hello. You're just seeing him just like, I mean, actively seeking out contact.
Mm-hmm.
It set the tone for the game. It also kind of set the tone that the Bills were going to get some chirping penalties and stuff like that, because I think that's what a lot of those penalties were on, like especially Spencer Brown's eventual pancake. I think that was more to do with for four or five straight plays he was chirping.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they call it. I'm not saying it was right or wrong. I think that's why they called it. But the Bills really made an effort in that game to impose their will, which is something we don't always see with the Bills. We really don't. A lot of times it is more of a finesse passing game. Not saying that's a negative, but we really don't see them like outright try to stare a team in the face and go, we are tougher than you. We will hit you harder. We're faster, the whole thing. And they really sought to do that on Monday night. And I think they really kind of did. Ty Johnson himself also had a lot of big runs as well.
Revenge game, Ty Johnson.
That's right. Revenge game, Ty Johnson. And I think, though, they're going to have to do somewhat of a similar thing against Tennessee. Tennessee's a great pass defense.
But also, at the same time, Jeremy and Joe were talking a little bit about it earlier today. L'Jarius Sneed has not looked.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great.
No.
For Tennessee.
No.
And that was kind of like a big whoa.
That was one of their moves they made this offseason that made you go, oh, they think they're better than they are.
Right.
They really like who they are.
Yeah. And I just can't wait to see what Will Levis does. I want a Will Levis meme.
I don't.
No. I'm saying in terms of the funny pictures. He always has something funny happen.
He does. But then this last week, like the funny meme thing that happened was the poor ball boy gets taken out.
I'm like, we've
crossed the Rubicon now. Yep. Now he's hurting other people.
He's now hurting others. We need to stop.
He is an enigma of a quarterback.
Will Levis?
Yeah.
What happened to last year? Where did all that go?
He was lucky.
Yeah, well,
because he looks a lot like he did at Kentucky. That it's he's got a wicked arm. I mean, just it very clearly NFL talent there.
Yeah,
and outside of that, it's not great.
Decision making is terrible.
His mechanics are kind of bad.
The vision's not great. The mechanics are bad. But I wonder though, like, I mean, isn't this kind of the same thing people were saying about Josh Allen? Not in the sense of him being this bad. He was not nearly as bad as Will Levis is.
But, I mean, he did have some hysterical misses, though.
Yes. So
looking back now are funny. At the time, were tragic.
Isn't it kind of fair to say that if he goes through the right sort of offseason glow-up this year, Not to say he could be Josh Allen, but he could just at least improve and be somewhat of a respectable quarterback.
And I think that's right. And I think guys like Allen, Herbert, Lamar.
Herbert, too. I think Herbert's a better comparison with Will Levis.
But they've opened up the window now for quarterbacks to like not immediately just get trashed.
Yeah.
Instead, right. It's like, hey,
we can teach
accuracy. We can teach better mechanics. You know, you're not going to the perfect college or having, you know, all these passing academies when you were in high school.
Yeah. Because now
we can get you there.
Because then it was, you know, if you're not one of the top three quarterbacks, it's just, oh, well, sorry.
Gonzo.
Better luck next year.
With like every now and then you get a Russell Wilson or a Dak Prescott. Like Wilson, his big thing was, what was his issue? Oh, nothing was his mechanics or his throwing. It was he was short. And, you know, you saw that in his rookie year. He was great right away. Dak Prescott, you know, a lot of his thing, too, was that he just wasn't as precise of a passer coming out of Mississippi State. He was much more considered like a physical runner and a moral problem for that. But you saw pretty early on, especially when he had a very talented Dallas team, he was able to kind of grow gradually. Will Levis, though, I just don't think he even has like kind of that window, too, because I don't think Tennessee's coach likes him. And I think that's a big part of this is that, look, he ultimately was not benched. But I do not think Brian Callahan is a fan of his at all. You heard it in the first few weeks. Where
he sounds very annoyed.
Yeah. That just like,
dude, he just sounds like a coach that's just fed up with his quarterback trying to get through the season.
Because I think it was like in the first 3 weeks. Like it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And a lot of it too is just like you're 23, 24 years old. You're in your second year. Like how are we still having these conversations? How are you making these mistakes? What have you? And to some of it was unfair. But there is also that. Yeah, I mean, like we all love Josh Allen because he's able to make those insane plays that just no one else can make, right? Will Levis is the look of a guy who wants to make those plays, has the same mindset to make those plays, and can't. And that's where you get the funny memes and the insane interceptions that have you just like looking, if you're a Tennessee fan, going, are we sure Mason Rudolph is not better? Are we sure?
I mean, he did do okay that one half quarter.
He did all right. To play. But I look at like him and Jordan Love are like mirror images of each other, but in the sense of like Love can make those plays, but does have a lot like Allen early in his career. Some of the turnovers that you're just like, oh, what is happening here? Like, what is going on?
Right.
But I mean, he had a throw over this weekend too that just was like, he threw it into triple coverage, but threw it just high enough that only his receiver could get it. Will Levis, the poor guy, throws it. He's going to throw it an inch shorter.
He's going to throw it chest high, and all three cornerbacks are going to just catch it together.
I am interested, though, to see how he looks against this Bills defense, which, I mean, now as they keep getting healthier and you've got Bernard back, you've got Taron Johnson back, that is going to be fun to watch. And then also the Calvin Ridley situation. We were talking about it off air. I don't think we brought it up yet.
He was mad.
He is upset.
He is mad.
I mean, words we can't play on the radio kind of stuff mad after the game of like, I need targets
I
earlier.
I need the bleeping ball.
This is getting ridiculous. Like the whole thing. And it's just like, yeah, okay. And I don't want to take a victory lap because like they can obviously turn it around. But like I felt this way about Tennessee like the whole offseason is I'm like, man, they're making a lot of moves for a team that thinks they're way better. Like this off season felt like Will Levis last year threw like 25 touchdowns and 7 picks, and they're like, yeah, but if he started, you know, all 17 games, he's throwing 35 touchdowns, you know, what have you. That wasn't that at all. It was one really good game that was awesome. 4 touchdowns, deep balls, the whole thing. It was great. And then a Miami game in which he didn't particularly play well. He did wild stuff. Like he threw his body to the wind and said, if the tornado kills me, it kills me. But that's why they didn't play that well. It was more Miami losing the game. Like, he was really living off of his first career start. And I think the Titans were taking that and going, if we can just harness that, we're going to be good. And to this point, I mean, 5 picks, 7 or 5 touchdowns, 7 picks, it has not been good in the least. And again, 1-4. And then you come to Buffalo, who, I mean, now that fan base in that stadium is going to be rabid. With Amari Cooper, the win over the Jets, you're 4-2, you're sniffing 5-2. The one seed kind of feels a little bit of alive again. You know, there's also going to be, I would imagine, a lot of Bills fans. Something I thought about too. You stole Amari Cooper from the Chiefs, even if they weren't involved in it. It's the feeling of, yeah, but the Chiefs didn't get him, we did. After 2 straight losses, I mean, the fan base is back, and the sky is falling attitude is not there. And right. it was not a great win over the Jets. It was more the fact of, but you won a game you typically lose.
And I don't think,
and then you made the Cooper trade.
I think that the vibe was still good even before the trade, but that trade just, you know, sends things to the moon. And it's largely in part because of, like we've talked about all day today, is what he brings to this team is not only just the ability to be down the field and catch mm-hmm. the ball, but also the openness he's going to give to other receivers. The ability to be a distraction and mm-hmm. let other guys get open. And Kincaid, too, not just receivers. You have to, you know, include tight ends in there as well because, you know, Kincaid's a great pass catcher, and hopefully this also helps activate
I'm hoping they're starting to push that more. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.